B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Ches. We're going to start on the last line of Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, Ve'ein marzirin es ha-shever. We saw in the Mishnah earlier on, one is not allowed to set a broken bone of a person. You're not allowed to set it straight on Shabbos. Omer Rav Chana Bagdota Omer Shmuel. Rav Chana of Baghdad said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha marzirin es ha-shever. The halacha is one is allowed to set a broken bone on Shabbos. And Rashi explains that in Shmuel's version of the Mishnah, it actually said machzirin, you are allowed to set it, and not, as we have in our Mishnah, ein machzirin. Rabbi Bar Bar Chono ikla lepumpadisa. Rabbi Bar Bar Chono was visiting in Pumpadisa. Loi ol lepirkei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was giving a shir, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chono did not go to the shir of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda very much wanted Rabbi Bar Bar Chono at his shir. Shodrei le'ado daila. So Rabbi Yehuda sent a message to Ado, his attendant, Omar Le, and said to him, Zil igarbe. Either means force him, push him, get him to come to the shir. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel explains it. Rashi says, confiscate his cloak until he comes to the shir. Ozil garbe. So this Ado, the attendant of Rabbi Yehuda, did this. He fulfilled his mission. Also, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chona came to the shir. Ashkechei dekodorish, and he saw that there, in the middle of the shir of Rabbi Yehuda, he was saying, Ein machzirin es ha-shever. You're not allowed to set a broken bone on Shabbos. Omer lei. So this Rabbi Bar Bar Chona commented, Hocha Omer of Chona Bagdot Omer Shmuel. He said in the name of Shmuel, Halocha machzirin es ha-shever. The halocha is, and the version in the Mishnah that Shmuel had, you are allowed to set the bone. Omer lei, Rav Yehuda commented to Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, Ho Chona Didon, our Chona. Chona, you come from here, from this place. V'ho Shmuel Didon, and Shmuel came from this place. From Bovel, both of them came from Bovel. V'loi shemi'ali, and nonetheless, I did not hear this halacha. It was Rav Chona Bagdoto who said in the name of Shmuel. He said both Rav Chona came from Baghdad, which is in Bovel, and Shmuel came from Bovel, and I, Rav Yehuda, did not even hear this halacha. And you who came now, you came to visit, Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, you came, V'lav Badina Gorbarticha, was I not right to insist that you came? Had you not come to this Shia, we wouldn't have known this halacha in the name of Shmuel. So it's good that you came, we needed you here. Continues the Gemara. Misha Nifraka Yodoy. We saw in the Mishnah that if somebody's hand or foot became dislodged, Misha Nifraka Yodoy Viragli, Lo Yitrafein Butsoinon, you're not allowed to massage them with cold water. Avlarecha Tsukadarkoi, he can wash them, bathe them as he normally would. Vim Nisrape Nisrape, he has to bathe his whole body. You can't just bathe and wash and massage that particular area, that you mustn't do. Do what you do with the rest of your body, just bathe regularly, and then if this limb gets healed, so be it. Says the Gemara, Reb Avya have a Yosef Kameidu Reb Yosef. Reb Avya was sitting in front of Reb Yosef. Shanyo le yode, his hand became dislocated. Omar le hochi mai, he sort of signed to him, asking Reb Yosef, am I allowed to straighten it out? Am I allowed to realign my hand like this? Asur, he said to him, no. V'hochi mai, how about like this? Omar le asur, said also asur. Adahocha, in the meantime, ispatech, he got Yodeh's hand got healed, it got relocated in its correct position, and he was fine. Omar le maite boiloch. So Yosef asked him, what was your question? You know it's asa hotnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, misha nifruka yodoy oiragloi, lo yitrafein betzoinon avuroichetz kedarkoi, vim nisrapei nisrapei. We saw in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to do anything to massage your hand to put it back into position. What was your question? Omale said to him, V'loitnan ein machzir nes ha-shever. Does it not say in the same Mishnah that you're not allowed to set a broken bone, and nonetheless, V'omer of Chono Bagdota Omer Shmuel, Alocha machzir nes ha-shever? The Alocha is not like it says in the Mishnah. So maybe here too, the Mishnah says that if your hand gets dislocated, you're not allowed to fix it on Shabbos. Maybe that's not the Alocha. That was what I was asking. Omarlei said to him, Kulu b'chodo mechito mechtinu, were all the details in the Mishnah woven in one weaving? Hey, why, just because the halacha is not like one detail, why should the halacha not be like the other details? Heichad itmar itmar. In the places where explicitly we were told that the halacha is not like it says in the Mishnah, then you know that. Heichad lo itmar lo itmar. But when we don't know that the halacha is not like the Mishnah, we have no reason to believe the halacha shouldn't be like the Mishnah. Hadron aloch chovis, Baruch Hashem, we've finished learning Perek Chovis. Imirat Hashem will do Chazorah on Perek Chovis. And we're going to start straight away the next perek. Perek Shoyl, we know that one's not allowed to do any transactions on Shabbos. And one of the reasons you're not allowed to do transactions is because a person may come to write down the transactions, to have legal evidence, to remember, and writing is severely also on Shabbos. And therefore, many transactions are not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, however, Shoil Odom Michaveiro, a person is allowed to borrow from his friend Kadei Yayin, pitchers of wine, Vekadei Shemen, or pitchers of oil. Ubilvad Shelo Yomer Lo, you're not allowed to use the term Hilveini. Hilveini is, there's two terms for borrowing. I don't know if it's correct to say one is borrowing and one is lending, I'm not sure, but either way, there's the term called Shaila. And there's the term called halvar. Halvar, generally speaking, is long-term. Sha'ela is, generally speaking, short-term. Also, generally speaking, sha'ela, the very object that you're borrowing, you're giving back. In the case of halvar, it's typically where the object that you're borrowing, typically money, for example, you're not, or food items, you're not giving back the same thing that you're borrowing. You're giving back a different coin or a different food in its place. We're going to see all this soon in the Gemara. But the Mishnah says, Shoyl Odom, you're allowed to borrow on Shabbos, but don't use the word Hilveini, because the word Hilveini means long term, and your neighbor is going to write it down in order to remember, and that's Asa. If you say just Shoyl, you're just borrowing, then he'll know it's just short term, you'll both remember, he will not come to write it down on Shabbos. V'chein ha'isha mechaverta, a woman is allowed to borrow from her neighbor, from her friend, kikrois, a loaf, loaves, v'im einoi mamine. What happens if the neighbor doesn't trust that you're going to give it back? Maniach talisa etzla, you can just leave your cloak with him as a security, as a mashkin. Vo'isa imay chesbin achar Shabbos, and after Shabbos you'll go to your neighbor, you'll work out the calculations, how much you owe him, you'll pay for what you owe him, you'll give back what you borrowed, and that's fine. V'chein similarly erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim. We know the erev Pesach in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, Klal Yisrael, every single person would have to bring a Korban Pesach. A Korban Pesach has to belong to you. Not only does it have to belong to you, you have to be enrolled and listed before it gets shechted that you are one of the people that own a part in this Korban, and this is the Korban you're going to eat on the night of the 15th, on Seder night. Now, typically what would happen, a person would buy this Korban before, any time before it has to be shechted. If Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, and we have to shecht the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, that's one of the halachas. Shchitas HaPesach is Doicha Shabbos, overrides Shabbos. But you're not allowed to make an animal hektish on Shabbos. So what do they do? They would buy the animal 2 days before Pesach, on Friday, or any time before that, and they would make it hektish. And then on Shabbos, they would do on Shabbos, which was Erev Pesach, they would do the Shchita, and everything would be fine. What happens if this person forgot, or any other good or bad reason, did not have an animal before Shabbos? It's now Erev Pesach. He's allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach. The problem is he doesn't have one. What should he do? The Mishnah says, "Down Erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim shechol yeis b'Shabbos maniach talisei etzlei v'noitel es pischoi v'oisei imei chesh ben achar yom tov." Even though sales are prohibited on Shabbos, in this case you have no choice. And in the same way as one can even shecht a korban Pesach on this Shabbos, on Erev Pesach, which is normally shechting is one of the lametes melachis, and it overrides Shabbos. Even more so, the rabbinical prohibition of doing an acquisition on Shabbos, making a kinyan, is overridden. He's allowed to go and buy on Shabbos. He can't pay for it on Shabbos, so he'll leave a cloak with the person who's selling him the animal. He'll take the animal on Shabbos, he'll make it hektish on Shabbos, and he'll shecht it on Shabbos, and that's what he has to do. Let's see the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omalei Rabbe bar Rav Chonon, Omalei Rove bar Rav Chonon la'abaya. Maishno hish'iluni, maishno hilveini. We saw in the Mishnah, you're allowed to borrow, but you're not allowed to use the term hilveini. You're only allowed to use the term hish'ileini. What's the difference between the two? Says the Gemara, Omar lei hish'ileini loy osi lemichtav. When you're using the term hish'ileini, then a person will not come to write it down. Hilveini osi lemichtav. But when he uses the term hilveini, then he may come to write it down, and you have to avoid that. Chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to write on Shabbos. Don't use the term hilveini. Says the Gemara, v'hakiven de'bechil. Even in the week, sometimes a person would go to his neighbor, borrow something even long term. He'll use, possibly by mistake, he'll use the term hish ileini, and a person will have no problem with that. He'll say, you're using the term hish ileini, I know you're borrowing it long term. Here, I'll lend it to you, and he'll write it down. Kiven de bechol, during the week, zimnin de boya lemeimer lehilveini, even though it's a long-term loan, and he should have used the term hilveini. Va'omale ishileini, and he used the term hishileini, v'loi kopi dilavei, and he was not careful which term to use. Va'osi lemichtav, and the person who's lending it to him is going to write down, so he should remember the loan. B'Shabbos nami osi lemichtav. So what does it help that on Shabbos you're going to use the term hishileini? A person may come to write down, even if you use the term hash ileini. Omar Lei answered him back, Bechol, during the week, de loishono, that it doesn't really make a difference, ki omalei hilveini, loishno ki omalei ish ileini, loikob dinon ilavei, during the week where you can use any term, and it doesn't bother anyone which term you use, osi lemichtav, indeed, the person who's lending the item or the money is going to write it down, because he's not sure that it's only going to be short term. B'Shabbos, however, on Shabbos, kiven dehishileini hu desharu le'rabbonon. Since the Chachomim only allowed you to use hishileini, hilveini loy sharu le, and they did not allow you to use the term hilveini. Therefore, when you come to your friend on Shabbos and you say hishileini, and everybody knows that you're not allowed to say hilveini, minker milsa, it will be evident from the term that you're using that it's only a short term, in order that he shouldn't write down, and that will stop him from writing it down, and that's why it's permitted on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Another halacha, another dialogue between Rav Bar Rav Chonon and Abaya. Mechti, Omru Rabbonon, Kol Mili de Yomtev, Kamo de Efshe Lishnuya, Mishaninon. We know that anything that you're doing on Yomtev, in order that it should be as far removed from the way you do it during the week, you should deviate and do it in a different way. Hanu noshim, these women, demalion chatzvayu maya, they're filling their buckets with water. Maitam aloy meshanin. Why do they not change and deviate in the way they do it? They should not fill up their buckets in the way they do the rest of the week. The answer is, mishum deloy efshar, because there's no way to change it. How can they deviate? Hey chalavdi, what should they do? De malion bechatzva rova, limalu bechatzva zuta. Are you suggesting that if during the week they use big buckets, then here on Yom Tov they should use small buckets? That's not a solution. Hokom mafshi bihilucha, you're causing them to exert even more energy by having to do the trip between the pit and the homes many more times. That's not what we want. De malion bechatzva zuta, limalu bechatzva rabba. Are you saying that if during the week they fill it up using small buckets, on Yom Tov they should use a big bucket? Komafshi b'masui. You're increasing the weight of the load that they're carrying on Yom Tov, and that's also, we don't want that. Nifrois sudra. Are you suggesting that one should cover the bucket with a kerchief, and that way one can see it's different to the way it's done during the week? Osu l'idei schita. You may come to squeeze this kerchief, it's going to get wet, you'll squeeze it. And we don't want that to happen in Yom Tov. Nechsayo benachtama. Maybe you should tie a lid onto the buckets. Not piece of material that can get soaked, just a lid on top of it. Says the Gemara, Zimnin de Mifsak, sometimes the cord that's holding the lid is going to tear, V'osi lemiktari, and they're going to come to tie it, to make a knot. And that's also Ason Yontov. Hilkoch le'efshar, we have no choice, there's no way of deviating the way, the method they bring the water on Yom Tov, and therefore they did it in the regular way. Continues the Gemara. Omar le Rabbah Bar Rav Chonon Labaya. Another dialogue between Rabbah Bar Rav Chonon and Labaya. Tnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Loi Mesapkin, one's not allowed to clap one's hands, Loi Metapkin, nor is one allowed to beat one's chests. In other places, Rashi explains this a bit differently, but that's how Rashi explains it here. V'loi merakdin, nor is one allowed to dance, but Yom Tov, even in Yom Tov, these things are all osa. And the Gemara in Beitza explains that the problem is that if you're going to be engaged in this type of music or in this type of way of singing, you may come to fix a clay shir, musical instruments, which is osa. He asked him, I don't understand. We see people clapping on Shabbos. We see people doing dancing on Shabbos. And the Chachomim are not rebuking them. No one is saying a word. So Abaye answered back to Rav Yosef, according to you, Rav Yosef, you're saying that when people are doing things they shouldn't be doing, you should be rebuking them? Hod Omar Rova. We saw this already in a Gemara previously on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph, that a person should not sit with his back to the lechi, the post, that is the sign that an alleyway ends and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim starts. A person should not sit with his back towards that lechi, towards that post, because that, if he does, he'll have no way of discerning where the alleyway comes to an end and where the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim starts. Dilma Migandor Leichefetz, maybe an object is going to roll past him, and he'll think, oh, this ball has just rolled past me, I'll take it from my right to my left. And really, he doesn't realize that on his right was a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, on his left was a Mavui, an alleyway, which biblically speaking has the status of a private domain. He did a severe issa of carrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. The whole point of the post is there should be a recognition. And if he's got his back to this recognition, then he's not going to notice. So that's the halacha. We can see there are people who placing their buckets, putting down their buckets, and they are sitting at the edge of the mavui, contrary to the halacha. And this is Abaye saying to Rav Yosef, nobody's saying anything, how are you answering that? You, Rav Yosef, are asking me, Abaye, why we're not telling people to stop clapping and dancing. Well, why are you not telling them not to sit in the Mavi that way? Elo, it must be Hanachlu Yisrael. Hanachlu Yisrael, leave Klal Yisrael. Mutav Shiu Sheigin, it's sometimes better that they should be transgressing something unintentionally, Va'al Yiu Mazidin, and they should not be doing an Aveira deliberately. Sometimes when you know that they're not going to listen to you, you know that they're going to do the Aveira anyway, rather they should do it out of ignorance than out of arrogance. Savor mino hana mila b'drabanon, they thought that that is only true regarding rabbinical isurim. You know they're not going to listen anyway, rather they should be shoigig. Aval b'deraisa loy. We assumed, or we thought, that when it comes to biblical isurim, there you have to do teichacha, you have to rebuke them, even if you know that the chances of them listening to you are slim. V'loihi, but it's not the truth, says the Gemara. Lo'ishno b'derabonon, v'lo'ishno b'deraisa, irrespective of whether it's a rabbinical isur or a biblical one, the same applies, the same is true. Dehatoisus Yom Kippurim, making sure that you start Yom Kippur a few minutes before it's nighttime. Da'iraisi, it's a chiyuv min ha'Torah, that you don't eat and drink and do everything till the moment that the night starts. Like with Shabbos, for example, min ha'Torah. Okay, it's a discussion, Toisus Shabbos, but Toisus Yom Kippurim is definitely min ha'Torah. And we can see that people are eating and drinking on Erev Yom Kippur till just before night starts. Nobody told them anything. So you see that even regarding biblical Isurim, if you know they're not going to listen to you, better say nothing. Continues the Gemara, v'chein isha mechaverto kikreis, a woman is allowed to borrow loaves from her neighbor, and we're not concerned that she's going to write it down. That the neighbor that you've borrowed from is going to write it down. Says the Gemara, b'shabbos hu da'asur, aval b'choil shapir domi, is the whole issue here just borrowing from your neighbors on Shabbos, and you have to make sure, don't say Hilvisani, say Hishiluni, etc. But during the week, there's no problem. You can borrow from your neighbor a loaf of bread. Is that true? Lema masnisin deloike hilil. It seems from the Mishnah that singles out this halacha regarding Shabbos, it seems that it's not like hilil. It seems that otherwise one is allowed to borrow loaves of bread from one's neighbor. Ditnan, v'chein hoyo hilil oimir. Hillel said as follows, Loi talve isha kiko lechaverto, a woman should not borrow from her friend, or a person should not, or she shouldn't lend to her friend loaves, ache ta'aseno domim, until you've assessed the value of the bread, and then you know, I'm giving you this amount of value of bread. Why? Shema yoikru chitin. It could be between the time that you've borrowed a loaf and you're going to give back another loaf, the price of wheat has gone up. V'nimtza bo yislidei ribis. And then it will turn out, if you borrowed a loaf that was worth X and you gave it back and it was worth Y, and Y is more than X, you've given back ribis, interest. You're not allowed to give back interest. Says the Gemara, no. Our Mishnah could even be holding of Hillel. Afilu teima Hillel. Ho ba'asra dekayit doma. Our Mishnah is talking about where the loaves had a very fixed price. It's not something that fluctuated depending on the price of the wheat. Ho ba'asra dekayit doma. But the case of Hillel, the Mishnah of Hillel, was talking about a case where loaves did not have a fixed price, and therefore you're only allowed to lend your friend loaves if you assess its value and you make sure that when you give back the loaves, you're giving back bread to the exact value that you borrowed and not more. It's worth noting that if you notice how the Gemara started this sugya, b'shabbos hu da'osir, aval b'choil shapir domi, and then the Gemara asked from Hillel, what exactly is osir on Shabbos that's mutter during the week? The Mishnah says you are allowed to borrow loaves from your friend. What's the issa here? The answer is, it's osir to say hilvisani. You're only allowed to say hishileni. But during the week, you're allowed to say hilvisani. The Gemara said, during the week, how can you say hilvisani? Hillel says you're not allowed to borrow a loaf of bread unless you assess the value before. To which the question is, that even, let's say, he doesn't say Hilviseini, even Hishileini, which is mutter on Shabbos, is the same question. How can you say Hishileini and borrow bread? It's contrary to what Hillel said. You're not allowed to borrow bread in this fashion, even during the week. What's it got to do with Shabbos? So they were showing him here, the Ritva, the Rashba, they explain that using the term Hishileini is a very short-term borrowing, and when it comes to short-term borrowing, even Hillel agrees, even during the week, there's no problem, because we're not afraid that within a day or two, the price of wheat is going to change. When you borrow it for a month or two, for a longer period of time, which is what the term Hilvisani seems to promote, then we can suspect that the price of wheat will fluctuate, and then we have Hillel's issue. And that's what the Gemara is talking about. It's a chiddush here in the Gemara, but that's how the Rishonim explain it. Continues the Gemara. V'im einoi ma'aminoi, we saw in the Mishnah that if somebody lends his friend something and doesn't trust he's going to get paid back, then he can take from him a cloak. He can't take it. He should leave. The person borrowing it should leave by the lender his cloak. That will be a security, a guarantee that he's going to get his money back. And that's what he can do. And that you can do on Shabbos as well, says the Gemara. Itmar, halvois yom tov, regarding loans, things that a person borrows on yom tov, and the same applies to Shabbos. There's a machlekas Rav Yosef and Rabba. Rav Yosef omar loy nitno li tova. The types of loans, transactions done on Shabbos and yom tov are not claimable in Beis Din in a court. V'Rabba omar nitno li tova. Rabba says that they can be claimed in court as with any other claim. And now they're going to explain themselves. Rav Yosef Omar lo nitno litova. Why does Rav Yosef say that you cannot claim any transactions that were done on Shabbos or any borrowing, lending that was done on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Why can you not claim it? Di omres nitno litova. Because you will be able to make such claims in a Beis Din, osi lemichtav, then the person who's borrowing may come to write down. And that's even short term. If it's just that for the person themselves to remember, then as we saw previously, if it's short term, he won't need to write it down. Long term, he'll write it down. But that's why you're not allowed to say Hilvisani. It's not allowed to be long term. But short term, a person will remember, he won't write it down. But if he knows that later on in court, he could claim this, whatever item is being borrowed from him, he's going to write it down just in order that there should be a reference for the Beis Din. And therefore, Rav Yosef says that these transactions cannot be claimed in Beis Din. Rabba Omar nitno litova. Rabba says that you can claim in Beis Din di omnus lo nitno, because if you're going to say that borrowing and lending that's done on Shabbos or Yom Tov can never be reclaimed in Beis Din, lo yoivle, then a person will not want to lend anybody anything on Yom Tov. Va'osi imnuei misimchas Yom Tov, and people will be deprived from their simchas Yom Tov, from having their basic Yom Tov needs met. Sometimes a person needs something on Yom Tov, he can borrow it from his neighbor. But if his neighbor knows that even if the friend who's borrowing is not going to give it back to him, he cannot come to Beis Din, he'll say, what do I need the balagan for? I'm not going to lend it to him. Tanan. We're going to now bring proof from a Mishnah to Rav Yosef. Im einoi ma'aminoi maniach talisoi etzloi. We saw in our Mishnah that if Reuven wants to borrow something from Shimon and Shimon doesn't trust him, then Reuven should leave his cloak by Shimon. I omres b'shleima loy nitno litova. If it's true that like Rav Yosef said, that you cannot claim it in a Beis Din, mishum hocha maniach taliso etzloi. If Shimon can then can't go to Beis Din to make the claim from Reuven, we can understand that Reuven should leave his cloak with Shimon. According to Rabba, that Shimon could afterwards claim from Reuven in Beis Din, why should it be necessary for Shimon to require that Reuven leaves his cloak with him or some other security with him? Just give him, lend him what he wants to borrow, and later you'll take it from him in Beis Din. Litein lo v'litove, give him and then claim from him. Omar, no. Loi bo'ino de leikem bedina v'dina. There's no proof from our Mishnah that to Rav Yosef. It could be that the truth is that you can claim it in Beis Din. And the reason that Shimon wants the cloak of Reuven is because Shimon is not interested in being involved with litigations, with judges. He says, I'm not interested in all that. You want to borrow something from me? No problem. I don't want to have to deal with you later in Beis Din. Give me a cloak. Give me a security. I'll know you'll pay me back and I'll lend you whatever you need. Continues the Gemara. Mosiv Rav Idi Bar Avin. Rav Idi Bar Avin is going to bring a refutation against Rav Yosef. We learned Hashoichet. It's a Mishnah in Shvius. Hashoichet es haporo v'chilko b'roish hashono. Im hoya chodesh mu'ubor meshamit v'imlav einim meshamit. That's a Mishnah in Shvius. And just a very short introduction. We know that there's a concept called Shmitas Ksofim. If you borrowed money or you owed money in Shmitah, and comes Shmitah, which is the seventh year of the Shmitah cycle, then Shmitah is meshamit. The Pasuk says that Shmitah actually cancels the debts. And if Reuven owes Shimon money, and he comes to Shimon, and the debt was there from before or during Shmita, and he wants to repay back to Shimon, Shimon has the mitzvah to say and the requirement to say the debt has been cancelled. If Reuven wants to pay anyway, and Shimon is allowed to accept it, we'll see that in the Gemara soon. Now what happens if a person borrows money in Elul, the last month of Shmita, the time Shmita comes to an end, the claim has been, the debt has been cancelled. What happens if it's the last day of Elul and he's borrowed money and he owes money on the last day of Elul? Shmita will cancel it. if you borrow money the first day of the next year, then Schmidt has got nothing to do with it. And of course he's going to be chayev. What happens, and we know that on Rosh Hashanah, in the time of Chazal, in the time of the Mishnayos, they used to, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, how did they used to determine what day was Rosh Chodesh? Two witnesses would come and say, we saw the new moon, Beis Din would say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. The witnesses who would come to testify they saw the new moon would come on any one of 2 days. Either on day 30 of a month, or on day, so to speak, on day 31. If they come on day 30, it means day 30 is really day 1 of the next month. And the previous month just had 29 days. That's called a short month. Or maybe we'll call it a regular month. If they do not come on day 30, then the next day, day 31, so to speak, will become the first day of the next month. And the previous month, which is a big month, a 30-day month, is called a Chodesh Me'uberes. Like a pregnant woman is large, so too the previous month will be a larger month. Normally, Edim would come, the witnesses would come, either on day 30 or on day 31, and then the Beis Din would say, would determine when Rosh Chodesh is. And the ramifications of that, which are typically Yom Tov, Pesach is on the 15th of the month, Sukkot of the 15th of the month, and these are sugyas which are discussed, Mishnayos, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. What happens Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Chodesh. And so it comes day 30 of Elul, so to speak. It's day 30 of Elul. We don't know, are Edim going to come today and today is going to be Rosh Chodesh? Or are Edim not going to come today and then tomorrow is going to be Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh for that matter? We don't know. So therefore, even in Eretz Yisrael till today, they made 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The 30th day of Elul was always Rosh Hashanah. 31st day, the next day, is also Rosh Hashanah. 2 days Rosh Hashanah. If Edim would come any time on that day 30, and Beis Din would say Mekudesh, then that day would be determined that day was the real Rosh Hashanah. If Edim do not come on day 30, and we only know that at the end of day 30, then obviously that day 30, retroactively, we now know it was the 30th day of Elul. And the next day is the real Rosh Chodesh and the real Rosh Hashanah. So the next day will be Rosh Hashanah. What happens if somebody borrowed money on the 30th day of Elul at the end of Shemitah? What's the halacha then? So that's what the Mishnah discusses. And it was a custom in the time of the Mishnayos and much later than that, that a person would not just slaughter an animal. Animals, a lot of meat. They didn't have a way of keeping the meat cold. They didn't have fridges and freezers. They would wait till there was a group of people that together committed themselves to pay for a part in the cow, and then they would shecht the cow. Hashoichet es haporo, if they shechted the cow, v'chilko b'rosh hashanah, and they split it up between all the people that committed themselves to pay for it. When was that? On Rosh Hashanah, on the 30th day of Elul, at the end of Shemitah. So im hoya chodesh m'ubar, if it turns out that Elul is a 30-day month, then this day 30 is not really Rosh Hashanah. It looked like Rosh Hashanah. We acted as if it was Rosh Hashanah, but it turns out it was Elul. If it's Elul, it's still the Shemitah year. Then Meshamit, then the Shemitah will cancel the debt. Ve'im lav, if it turns out that Elul is a 29-day month, which means on that day 30, Edim come and say, we saw the new moon, then that day 30 now becomes the first day of the next month of Tishri, of the year after Shemitah, so the debt is a post-Shemitah debt. And then, then the debt will not be cancelled. That's what it says in the Mishnah. It says the Gemara, according to you, Rav Yosef, who say that anything that's done on Yom Tov, and this day 30 of Elul is in any case Yom Tov. The Chachomim said, because we don't know if it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Tov. And if you say that any transactions or any debts that are incurred on Yom Tov, you cannot claim them in Beis Din, then what's the difference if this day 30 is Shemitah or not Shemitah? The loan is counted for cancelled because you can't do anything with this loan. You can't claim it in Beis Din anyway. My Meshamit. What does it mean Then you're saying, if it turns out that this day, the 30th of Elul, is not Rosh Hashanah, it's still Elul, Shmita is going to cancel the Chayv. It's cancelled anyway, because it's Yontav. And if it's Yontav, you can't claim in Beis Din anyway. Says the Gemara, so the Gemara wants to bring proof from here, so it must be that you could go to Beis Din. Even though, like Rabbi says, even though that the loan was done on Yom Tov, you can claim in Beis Din. And that's the Zechidish here, that if this day is going to end up being a day in the Shemitah year, then Shemitah will cancel the debt. Says the Gemara, no. There's no proof against Rav Yosef from here. Shani hasom de igloi milsa de choilhu. What actually happened is that it's true that the Chachomim said that you have to, so to speak, play the Yom Tov game. And it's the 30th, it might be Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you've got to do Rosh Hashanah on that day. However, once it becomes clear that the Edim, the witnesses, do not come on the day 30, and it becomes clear that day 30 was not Yom Tov Bichlal, that the truth is, even though we had no choice, we had to assume it was Yom Tov, but it then became apparent that it was a weekday. And therefore, if it was a weekday, then this was a debt that was made on a weekday. If it was made on a weekday, then, of course, you can claim it in Beis Din. And that's what the Chiddush is. No. Since it's still part of the Shemitah year, the Shemitah is going to cancel the debt. Ask the Gemara. Toshema mi Seifa. Let's try and bring proof from the next line in that Mishnah. What did you say in that next line in the Mishnah? If Imlav, if it turns out that Elul is a 29-day month, and that day 30, which is when you owed your friend for the meat that you took from him, turns out to be post Shmita, Einem Meshamit. And obviously, Shmita does not cancel the debt because the debt was done after Shmita. Asks the Gemara, Iyam Rasbishleim Nitno Litova, according to Rabba, who says that a debt that you make on Yom Tov you can claim in Beis Din, Hainu Diktoni, Einem Meshamit. It makes sense that it says, Einem Meshamit, that since it's not Shmita, Shmita doesn't cancel the debt, and you want to claim the debt, go to Beis Din. According to Rav Yosef, who says that since it's Yom Tov, and this day 31 is definitely Yom Tov, it's day number one of the next month. Since, according to Rav Yosef, that a debt that was made on Yom Tov, you cannot go to Beis Din, what does it mean? Am I Einem Meshamit? What does it mean that Shmita doesn't cancel the debt? We don't need Shmita to cancel the debt. The debt is cancelled just by virtue of the fact that it was done on Yom Tov, and you cannot claim in a Beis Din, so the debt is as good as not being claimable. Says the Gemara, no. The Gemara says that there's a fundamental difference between what Shmita does to your debt and to what Beis Din does or doesn't do to your debt. There's one thing, can you go to Beis Din and force Beis Din to get involved and take the money out of the person who lent it to you? There's another thing, does the debt exist? If I borrow money, or if I borrow an item on Yom Tov, then it could be that Beis Din will not be involved. That doesn't mean the debt isn't there. It doesn't mean the person I lent something to doesn't need to give it back to me. And if he gives it back to me, of course I should take it back. However, Shmita is different. Shmita says that even if he comes to give it back to you, you're supposed to tell your friend, no, Shmita cancelled the chayv. If he insists on paying me, I'm allowed to take it. But you have to verbalize your understanding that the debt has been cancelled. If so, when it says that if you borrowed on day 31, which is Yom Tov, then Shmita doesn't cancel the debt because it's clear then that it's after Shmita. If it became apparent that the debt that you took was on the day that was the real Rosh Hashanah, that was post Shmita, Einem Meshamit, Shmita is not Meshamit, does not cancel the debt, but the debt is still there. If the person who owes you whatever he borrowed, shokil, you can take it. And that is what the Chiddush is in the Sefer. When it says in the Sefer that ilav einay meshamit, that if, that means when did you borrow? You borrowed on day 30. That's when you split the cow. You borrowed on day 30. If it became clear that Elul is a 29-day month, which means that day 30 is read clearly the beginning of the next month, then in that case, einay meshamit, Shmita doesn't cancel the debt, and if your friend comes to give it back to you, you can take it. So then let's go back to the Reisha. What happens if it becomes clear that it's that the Elul is a 30-day month? And then when you split the cow, then it was the last day of Shemitah. So we say, and over there we say that Shemitah is Meshamit. What does that mean? That if your friend pays you, you're not supposed to take it back? Michlal Dereisha, Iyoiv Le Loi Shokil? You're not supposed to take the money back? Because that's what we just said. The difference between whether Shemitah is Meshamit or not Meshamit is if you're allowed to take the money back. You're saying that if the debt was done on Shemitah, then, and my friend comes to pay, I shouldn't take it back? Says the Gemara, yeah, you're right. Almost. Reisha, Tzorich Lemeimar Le Meshamitani. In the case where the debt was made on the 30th day of Elul, and it was Shemitah, your friend, it turns out that Rosh Hashanah was only on the next day, then your friend comes to pay back, you have to tell him, Meshamitani, I'm cancelling the debt, the debt's gone. Sefer, but in the case of the Sefer, where it becomes clear that the Rosh Hashanah is on day 30, and the debt was made on day 30, which is not in the Shemitah year, you don't need to tell your friend, Meshamitani. It's true, according to Rav Yosef, you cannot claim it in the Beis Din because it's Yom Tov, but you don't need to say the debt is cancelled. Could it none, like we saw explicitly in a Mishnah, Hamachzir Choyv B'Shvius, if somebody wants to repay a loan during Shemitah, Yoimer Loi, the person who's being given the money back to, has to say, Meshamitani, I'm cancelling the debt. If the person who's paying back says, nonetheless, even though I know that the debt is cancelled, I want to pay it back anyway, he's allowed to take it back. And where do we find that you have to verbalize that you've cancelled the debt? Shemitah is something that has to be verbalized. How is Shemitah verbalized? When your friend comes to pay you back, tell him the debt is cancelled. Continues the Gemara, Rav Avya Shokil Mashkoina. Rav Avya, when people would borrow from him on Shabbos or Yom Tov, he would take a guarantee from them, a mashkin. Rabbi Bar Ula, Marim Yarume, he would even lend things without taking the security. But then after Shabbos or after Yom Tov, he would find a way of getting some object belonging to the person that borrowed from him, would to get hold of one of his objects somehow. And then once he's holding his friend's object, then he's got his guarantee. And when the person is asking back, give me back what you've taken from me, you'll just say to him, no, I'm keeping this instead of the debt that you owe me. And that's the way he has his guarantee. Continues the Gemara. V'chein Erev Pesach. We saw in the Mishnah that on Erev Pesach, which was Shabbos, you need to have a Korban Pesach. If you didn't have a Korban Pesach, you, so to speak, go and buy one. You can't pay on Shabbos. What you can do is you can give the person who's selling the animals your cloak or some guarantee and then take the animal. Omer Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, Makdish Odom Pischei B'Shabbos. You have a Korban Pesach. It's now Erev Pesach and it's Shabbos. You're allowed to make the animal Hektish. Normally, you're not allowed to make an animal hektish on Shabbos. You're not allowed to dedicate it and designate it for hektish on Shabbos. Here, you don't have a choice. You need to shech the korban Pesach. It must be done today. And you're allowed to make the korban hektish in the event that you didn't do it before Shabbos. And not only the korban Pesach, which is on Erev Pesach on Shabbos, v'chagigosei b'yom tov, there's halacha on the first day of Yom Tov, every person has to bring a korban chagiga to the Beis HaMikdash. If it's the first day of Yom Tov and you have the korban but you didn't make it hektish, you're allowed to make it hektish. You have to make it hektish. Says the Gemara, Neimu Masiyele, can we bring proof to this din of Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah? V'chein Erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim shechol yois b'Shabbos, if Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, maniach talis ve'etzlo, he leaves his cloak with the person selling the animals, v'noitolis pischei, and he takes the Korban Pesach, v'oisei moichesh ben l'achar Yom Tov, and after Yom Tov he'll settle the debts and he'll pay. So it seems there that you're buying the Korban on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, and now after you buy the Korban, you have to make the Korban hektish. So you see, like Rabbi Yochanan says, you're allowed to make a korban hektish on Shabbos, even on Shabbos, on Erev Pesach. Says the Gemara, no. Hochad mayaskinon b'memane achirim imoy al pischei. The truth is, our Mishnah is not talking about buying a Korban Pesach, which is the way it seems. No. You had the Korban Pesach, and you even made it hektish beforehand, on Erev Shabbos. But there's a halacha that you have to be enrolled on a Korban Pesach. Before you shecht it, every person who's going to eat from that Korban Pesach has to be on the list, before they shecht it. This Reuven came along on Shabbos and is looking for a group that he can join. You want to join? No problem. Pay for it. It's Shabbos, I can't pay. So we're not talking about the animal being bought, it's been bought. We're not talking about the animal being made hektish, it's already hektish. We're talking about selling a part to this person who wants to join the group. And there it says, you can't take money from him on Shabbos, but you can tell him, give us a cloak, give us a guarantee, then I'll know you'll pay for your part, and then we'll enroll you, you'll be part of the group. The korban was hektish from before Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Vo'anantanan, did we not learn in the Mishnah, Ein nimnin ala behema b'tchila b'yontav, that one should not, when they would shecht an animal on Yom Tov, and before shechting an animal on Yom Tov, they would share out that there would be different people who would each take part of the animal. They didn't just want to shecht an animal and be left over with lots of leftovers. So for there, they would make a group. It says you should not make this group on Yom Tov. Ein nimnin ala behema b'tchila b'yom Tov. So here too, when you're making your group for the Korban Pesach, it's Erev Pesach, it's Shabbos, that's not the time that you're supposed to be joining a group. It's not the right time to do that. Shani hocha kiven derogil etzloi kemand imni bei miikora domi. It's true that you shouldn't just become part of a group on Yom Tov, or in the case of Korban Pesach, even if it's Shabbos on Erev Pesach, it's inappropriate to do that. You shouldn't do that. However, over here, we relied on you. We assumed that you were going to join the group because you join our group every year. And since we assumed that you were going to join us, it's as if you were in the group even beforehand, and therefore you're allowed to do this even on Shabbos. If he's somebody new to the group, then it's an uvda d'chol. It's a very weekday type of activity to distribute who's going to be part of the group and how we're going to share out the animal. But since this is a person that every year is part of the group, it's not as if we're starting a new relationship on this Shabbos or Yom Tov, and therefore it's allowed. It's not uvda d'chol. Ask the Gemara of Tanya Reb Hoshea, Hoylich Odom Eitzel Roya, a person is allowed to go to a shepherd, Harogil Etzlei, somebody that he's accustomed to going to this shepherd to buy from him. You're allowed to go to the shepherd and take from him. And we're talking about on Shabbos. Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. You go to the shepherd and take the animal from him. And make it hektish. And then you can use it to shecht it for the Korban Pesach. And over there, what are you going to say? Till now, we weren't sure how to understand our Mishnah. So we said that the Mishnah that says, Erev Pesach, Shcholias B'Shabbos, Maniach Talisa Etzle, the Mishnah just says, on Erev Pesach, then there's going to be some issue with the Korban Pesach, then you can take a guarantee and do what you have to do. So we thought it means buying the animal. And then the Gemara said, no, it doesn't mean buying the animal, it means distributing the animal, it means taking on, enrolling people into your group. But Rav Hoshea says explicitly, you go to the shepherd, you buy the animal, and you make it hektish. We said before that you don't make it hektish. You shouldn't make something hektish. We wanted to bring proof to Rabbi Yochanan, who says you are allowed to do hektish on Shabbos. And then we said, no, you shouldn't make hektish on Shabbos. How are we going to understand what Rav Hoshea said, that and after you buy the animal from the shepherd, you make it hektish, and then you can be yitzah? Says the Gemara, Hosam Nami, there too, Kiven derogel etzloi, like Rabbi Yishia said, we're talking about a shepherd who's used to every year, this person, this Reuven, comes on the name of his group, goes to this shepherd, Shimon, and buys it every year. So even before Shabbos, this shepherd knew, Reuven is going to come and buy from me. And therefore, the shepherd already made hektish for Reuven. And therefore, the animal, so to speak, already is designated to Reuven, and it's already hektish before, and therefore, technically speaking, no one had to make it hektish on Shabbos, because you shouldn't make it hektish on Shabbos. Kiven derogat es le'akdusha le'mi yikara. It says explicitly, take the sheep, the tler, makdisha, and then make it hektish. So it seems that the shepherd did not make it hektish. And if he didn't make it hektish, we're back to the same issue. You see here explicitly, you're allowed to make hektish on Shabbos. Says no. The truth is, the shepherd did make it hektish. V'ha makdish k'toni. This that we says in the Braisa of Rabbi Yoshia, that the owner made it hektish. No. Hektish ilui midrabonon. It was just a chumra midrabonon. The Chachamim said, you're bringing a korban, verbalize the fact that you want this to be a korban for you. But technically speaking and biblically speaking, this korban is already hektish from before, because the shepherd made it hektish because he knew you were going to come and buy this animal from him. Asks the Gemara, Umi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really hold, like we saw at the beginning of the sugya, that a person is allowed to make an animal hektish on Shabbos, or make his animal hektish chagiga on Yom Tov? V'omer Rabbi Yochanan halacha kestam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan always holds, second time we've seen this now, that the halacha is like a stam mishnah. And what does it say in the mishnah? None. We learned explicitly in the mishnah, loy makdishin, you should not make an animal hektish on Shabbos or Yom Tov. V'loy ma'arichin, you should not commit yourself to the Beis HaMikdash and Erech. Erech is a value, it's a whole parasha in the Torah. Every person has a value based on his age and gender. V'loy ma'achrimin, you shouldn't make something cherem. Cherem means it's designated. If you don't say what it's designated to, it becomes designated to the Beis HaMikdash. V'loy ma'agbi'in trumas u'maisras, you shouldn't separate trumas and maisras. You shouldn't do all these things. Kol eilu b'yomtev omru, all these things apply on Yom Tov. Kal v'chomer b'Shabbos, even more so on Shabbos. And it's a stam mishnah. It's an anonymous mishnah. Rabbi Eichnan always rules like an anonymous mishnah. So how can Rabbi Eichnan say you can be makdish your animal on Shabbos if it's Erev Pesach or Chagiga on Yom Tov? Says the Gemara, Loi kasha, kan b'chovis shekavu alehem zman, kan b'chovis she'in kavu alehem zman. Chagiga on the first day of Yom Tov, you have no choice. It's a fixed time. You need to bring a korban. You don't have one. Rabbi Eichnan says you can make it hegdish. Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, even Shabbos. It's a fixed time. You have to do it today. You're allowed to do it. The anonymous Mishnah we mentioned that you shouldn't make something hektish on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that's talking about if you have a korban and you want to bring a shlomim, you can bring it any time, and you should not choose Shabbos or Yom Tov to be the day that you are making this animal hektish. That's not something you should do. But if it's a korban that needs to be on a fixed day and you don't have a korban that's hektish, of course you're allowed to make it hektish according to Rabbi Yochanan. Emil Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.